It has been a long time in the making. I think it's been about, it's probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I think it was first mooted. I think what it was, myself and a friend were talking about the whole issue around the debate around racism in football and how disappointed we were with the way in which we felt it was sensationalised for the most part. And sensationalised in a way that doesn't really get you to the kind of hub of the issue. More focus on who said who to what and when, rather than a focus around the underlying issues to do with racism and football. And the other issue related to that was the fact that there were a few books on racism in football, but none of them were any good. And we were talking about, how downright poor some of them were, and how some of the others were good, but they missed out essential elements of it. And then obviously, when someone says, "Well, why don't you write one yourself?" then you start to kind of think, "Well, maybe it should, and how would it look? And then is it possible?" And so out of that came the idea to write it. And from then on, that's been me planning. It's 7 years later. Here I am. It's actually been completed.
Now, one thing that's just come to my mind about the fact that you've written the book, and it just came to mind when you were saying about the issues they face, is there are a couple of people who are key in raising the profile of black footballers and who've written about them. And when I approach them, they've got similar history to you in that they had brothers who played football and they couldn't stand the racism that their brothers had faced in the game. You've got a brother who played football, so that was a tough thing. If you had family playing, it was a very difficult thing to sit there because it's not something you're going to forget.
Not at all. I mean, and one of the things about my brother features quite heavily in the book as well. And one of the things about my brother is my younger brother as well. So there's that older brother kind of thing going on as well that you have to sit through 90 minutes of people just abusing him from, the first whistle to the last. And so my brother played a lot of lower league teams. Whenever he played anywhere within the Northwest, I'd go and visit him from, Stoke and Crewe in the south up to Carlisle in the north of the Northwest, and all points in between. So I was a regular visitor to grounds around the Northwest, and just to sit and listen to you. Quite often, especially in the early part of his career, he would be the only black player on the pitch. So quite often, he'd just be subject to all this abuse. And so to sit there and listen to your brother be abused in this way, did make me furious, to be honest. And so that's definitely one of my motivations for, not so much for writing the book, but certainly being interested in the whole issue about racism in football, most definitely.
By writing this book, one of the things as well you do is to remind people of the history. Britain did have some wonderful black footballers who a lot of us grew up admiring, and whether we watched football or not, we knew who they were, but it was also the pain that was behind some of their performances, because there was pain as well as joy behind some of the performances.
Of course.
Somebody who stood up for himself at the time but was also an icon, in terms of the way he looked, was George Berry. And you speak to George Berry, don't you?
I spoke to George in the book, yeah.
Some people who will know, he's got this iconic look. He looks a bit like a footballing Gil Scott-Heron in
He
his
does
day.
look like, that's a good description, actually.
In his day, but also he was somebody that really kind of like stood up for himself and for his right to be on the pitch. So just give people a little bit of an insight into who George Berry is and was.
Yeah, George Berry was, and he does look like a footballing Gil Scott-Heron. Gil Scott-Heron's dad played for Celtic, actually.
Yeah, Jamaican, didn't he play
Yeah,
for
he
Celtic?
was a Jamaican and played for Celtic, the first black player to play for Celtic. But George Berry grew up in Blackpool. The first club he went to was Wolves, but George deliberately sported a great big afro deliberately at the time, and for people who didn't grow up in that time, the afro was obviously a source of pride and so on. But amongst the older generation, there was a bit of fear of the afro a little bit. They thought of the afro as being too militant in many ways. So amongst the older generation, there was this kind of a militancy associated with the afro, and amongst a younger generation, it was something that was kind of seen as a sense of pride and so on. And George Berry very unlike most footballers of that period. If you look at people like Viv Anderson, Brendan Batson had a little bit of an afro, but not a massive one like George. Laurie Cunningham, Garth Crooks, lots of players who grew up in that era. Very few of them had the full-on big afro like George.